Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Biz Radio U, pushing knowledge further by spotlighting the best in business.
Hello and welcome, everybody. I'm Adam Wozniak, and I'm joined here today with my good friend and co-host, Alex Stoker.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Alex. What's going on with you, man?
Not much. I'm just looking forward to being on break soon.
Oh, yeah. I hear you. Man, I'm very excited for today's show.
Yeah, today's a special show for sure.
We got two very special guests, very close to us.
Yep.
I think you guys might know them. Lee Cantor and Stone Payton. How you doing, guys?
Doing well.
Yeah, doing good, man. Looking forward to this.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be great. Now, to start us off, let's talk a little bit about yourself and what business or Atlanta Business Radio X.
Business Radio X is a pro-business media platform that tells the stories of business and the markets that we serve.
Okay. And what got you, you know, started in this?
How did I get started in this?
Yes.
Well, I thought that in the media spectrum, there was not really a pro-business choice there. And I thought it would be a good idea if somebody told the stories about the individual business owners and business leaders in the market in a positive way. Because usually some media, and we say some media leans left, some media leans right, we lean business. So we're on the side of business.
Now, when you say media spectrum, you just something radio, TV,
radio,
anything?
TV, print. There's some publications that spotlight businesses occasionally, and some of them kind of focus on businesses, but they tend to focus on the super large businesses and the more established, successful businesses. And whereas on Business Radio X, we focus on businesses of all size.
So it's like the unbiased business radio.
Well, we try to be unbiased, but we also have kind of a slant that we're on the side of business. We're not here to be investigative journalists to find some scandal or, you know, something shady that they're doing. We're here to tell the good stories that they're doing to serve their community.
About how long you guys been doing this?
I'd say 8 years-ish. I started out, I founded it, and it was a kind of a lifestyle business for me. I was doing it on the side as I was a stay-at-home dad for my kid. And then I met Stone, and together we decided to kind of create some processes and formalize it and try to expand it outside of just the Atlanta area.
So y'all started here in Sandy Springs, right?
Right. This is the first studio. Yeah. Well, actually the second studio, but the first studio in the network.
Now let's talk about a little bit about expansion. When did you guys know that you needed to grow?
Well, it wasn't that we needed to grow. I could have continued it as a lifestyle business indefinitely and just serve the Atlanta market. What happened though was that a lot of people were saying, hey, can I do this somewhere else? And then we said, yeah, why don't we look at it as instead of just an Atlanta only business venture, let's see if we can replicate it in different areas. So we beta tested that with somebody that was interested. He became very successful. In fact, he opened a second studio. He has one in Gwinnett and one in North Fulton. And then just kind of organically by word of mouth, other people wanted to get involved.
So you mentioned when you guys expanded to other areas, what is that process like? So how do you pick where to branch out to?
Well, so far it's kind of just been organic that somebody would come to us and say, hey, I'm in this area. And that's the area that we say, okay, go for it.
And the people that come out to you, are they, you know, people that you've known for a long time, or are they strangers oftentimes?
Well, now it's kind of a mixture of both. At first, it was people we knew, at least kind of superficially, just through our business contacts. You know, we might have known them a little bit, but we didn't know them very well. Now we're getting complete strangers contacting us.
Okay.
Yeah, that must make it easy to fill up the roster there.
Well, it doesn't make it easy. It just means that now the word's out there a little bit and people are coming to find us, but we're not getting as many coming to us as we'd like. We want to expand it more rapidly than that's happening organically.
And in terms of content on the show, I understand y'all have several different radio shows on the station.
Yeah. I mean, our shows, we typically have a kind of a house show that we call it that serves the geographic location that we're in. But we also create niche shows targeting specific verticals like healthcare or senior services or finance.
And do y'all have a particular way you guys pick those?
Again, we don't pick those. That they're driven by our sponsors.
Okay. Well, tell me a little bit about High Velocity Radio.
That's Stone's.
Well, you're wearing the shirt.
I'm wearing the shirt.
So High Velocity Radio was initially my show because the way I met Lee, well, I was a guest on the show first promoting my book, Never Fried Bacon in the Nude and Other Lessons from the Quick and the Dead. And I was doing keynote work. I had such a great time on the show. It was a marvelous way to promote my book and my work. And not too long after that, I became a client. So I wrote a check as an underwriter for the High Velocity Radio show. And we've been doing that show ever since. We still do it once a week out of this studio. So successful, we had shirts printed up.
There you go.
And so, yeah, we have a lot of fun with that. And it really has essentially morphed into, I won't put it on the same level as Atlanta Business Radio, but it's one of those house shows, wouldn't you say? I mean, it's one of our flagship shows now.
Absolutely. Like Atlanta Business Radio tends to be centric around Atlanta-oriented businesses, where High Velocity will have maybe a bigger umbrella. Like we had somebody from Silicon Valley came in the other day and wanted to talk about their work there. We had somebody coming in from North Carolina. They were doing a conference about the Internet of Things, and they came on. So we cast kind of a wider net on
all
that
the show. Foreigners come on my show. And anybody Lee doesn't really want on Atlanta Business. No, it's another house show, right? I mean, we get a lot of good folks on that. Yeah.
Because I imagine, like, not every time, but you'll meet somebody great, and they're not Atlanta, but they're great business. And
right, so we want to spotlight them as well.
Yeah.
Do you oftentimes interchange guests?
Oh, that they've been on both shows?
Yeah.
Like yeah, absolutely. I mean, there has to be a compelling reason to do that. Typically, when a guest comes on and they did a good job, we'll revisit them maybe 6 months, a year from now. But having two flagship shows allows us to kind of maybe speed up that, where we have them come back again in a shorter period of time.
Right. And Stone, this is just going back a little when you mentioned earlier. So you started off as an author, went on the show, and then now you're doing radio. What was that jump like for you?
Fun.
Yeah.
And fast. I had so much fun. It was such a different experience than I ever expected as a guest. I came on because I'd done other radio, TV interviews. You know, when you're out promoting a book, you got to do this stuff, yep. Right? And so I was so well prepared, and I was a professional speaker, still am. But I mean, people wrote more checks back then. I did it more back then.
Yeah.
So I got good at the little soundbite stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I walked in here with my soundbites. I'd thought through it the night before, practiced it the morning of. I come in here. That's not what these guys do. They have a conversation. They want to dive into what you really do and why. And it was just so much fun. And the content that was generated just from that authentic conversation had so much more sales and marketing utility than anything I'd done in the previous year. I said, oh, man, I love this. So, I mean, from there to becoming a managing partner, that was probably the fastest transition of anything I've ever done.
Yeah, I imagine. So you, prior to that, never really had any professional radio experience aside from being on shows, correct?
Correct. And before, yeah, absolutely not. I don't even know that I'd been on the radio. I maybe once or twice to comment on a major change in it, but no, not like that.
That's ridiculous. Congrats.
Thank you.
Switch gears a little bit here. I understand a major principle of the show is when connecting guests together.
Absolutely. Part of our secret sauce is that we have actual studios. A lot of radio or internet radio especially is done over the phone. So creating these in-person, face-to-face relationships is one of the value propositions we offer to our sponsors and clients. Mm-hmm.
So like I say, maybe if you might not want to say specifically, but what was your favorite connection between two people?
The funnest connection I ever had, I think one of my favorite stories about kind of the serendipity that occurs in the studio is we had the owner of the Fur Bus. I don't know if you're familiar with the Fur Bus. It's a bus that goes around town. It's like a party bus that you can rent.
Okay.
And the owner of the Fur Bus is a graduate of Auburn. And we're talking to him in the interview. He mentions that he was the Auburn Tiger mascot. He was the guy that runs out on the football field, right, as the Auburn Tiger. And that's what it was for. He was like a zoology major. That's why it's called the Fur Bus. So he's talking about how he was the mascot of Auburn, which is, I've never met any mascots before. So that was the first time. So now we're going around the table and we're interviewing another guy who has a company called Net Weaving or Net Weavers. And he's an older guy and he is an insurance guy. And he goes, I was the Colorado Buffalo mascot.
Wow. Oh, wow.
When I was a kid. I mean, you're talking 40 years before.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the odds in the same episode, two different college mascots just happened to be together on the show?
Gotta be low, man. That's nuts.
Is that
insane? Were they like particularly energetic or peppy?
Yeah, I mean, they both had good personalities, but it was just so strange that mm-hmm. here was two people. And to this day, when I run into, his name is Bob Littell, the Colorado Buffalo, he brings that up. He's like, remember when I was on and there was the Auburn Tiger was on? Like, it's just,
not, you just can't make those up.
You can't make that up.
Now, Stone, I'm going to ask you to attempt to top that one. What's your favorite connection moment?
My favorite story actually isn't mine. Didn't happen on my show. It is is legend the right thing? It's one of those stories that we always tell inside the Business Radio X family, particularly when we're talking to a potential client or a potential studio partner. And it's the story where the co-host of the Atlanta Business Radio show in the early days, she was working for an insurance company, Aflac. It's okay for me to say that, right?
Yeah.
All right. So she was working for Aflac. And, you know, that can be kind of a tough road to hoe to go out to these chamber meetings and these Leeds Club meetings and cocktail parties and all that. Drum up business, introduce yourself. And so Lee counseled her to say, look, why don't you be a co-host of this thing? And when you go out, just forget that you're with Aflac. Just don't lead with that. But tell folks that you're looking for interesting people to interview on Atlanta Business Radio. So she did that. Her business exploded. And there was a specific incident where she had an opportunity to genuinely serve the municipality, or maybe they weren't, they were about to become or just became a municipality, a city, Dunwoody, right?
Right.
So, and you got to remember, everything we do here is, it's not a parlor trick. It's built on genuinely serving. So she invites these people, like the police department,
the mayor, the city manager, and one of the city councilmen.
All in this.
They were sitting, the mayor was sitting where I'm sitting.
Oh, wow.
And they're all sitting around the room and they're diving in just like you're doing with me. You're learning about what we do, that kind of stuff. And these people are getting to share their passion and talk about why it's important to become a city and their plans and all of that. And in doing so, it helped her create that relationship where I don't know if they were ever going to buy Aflac or not, but if they were, or anything like Aflac, guess where they were going to buy it from?
Yeah, they're going to call her.
They're going to buy it. Or I'll tell you this, they're certainly going to take her call, right?
Oh, definitely.
And so it was, to me, it's just such a marvelous demonstration of how if you have a genuine heart of service and you have a platform like this and let a professional like a Lee Cantor coach you through how to leverage it properly, I mean, there's no stopping you. You're going to help more people and make more money. And more money you make, the more people you go help. The more people you help, the more money. I mean, you couldn't stop it if you wanted to.
You just get the ball rolling.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my favorite story. It's not even mine. I probably don't tell it right, but it inspires me every day.
Well, I think well said.
So I have a question now for Lee and Stone. So you guys have been doing this for a while, obviously. So is there anything that you can say from the radio show has been, I guess, the craziest experience or it's been most impactful in a like outlandish kind of way?
I don't know.
I think that was bad phrasing. What is your most out there experience that you've had because of the radio show?
We've never had anybody streak in the studio or anything like that, I don't think.
But. I mean, the craziest, I guess the most interesting, let's put it that way, the most interesting guest that we've had that had an unusual product was, remember the frozen pints? Where they have ice cream that's frozen. Beer.
Sounds awful.
Craft beer.
It's delicious.
Frozen beer.
Have you ever heard of that?
No.
No.
It was marvelous.
I had never heard of that. They were guests. They came in with samples. And their local company here, it's Frozen Pints. I think frozenpints.com probably you can get to their website. But they partner with craft beer companies. And they They make ice cream out of like craft beer flavored IPA ice cream. Wow. And so they were telling their story, and it was created kind of as a goof. They were making ice cream. They're like, pour the beer in. Like, it was like one of those kind of like, and then, so then now they have an actual business.
Wow.
That's built around that.
I mean, yeah, you can make a business about anything. So how'd you guys find these people to interview?
Well, at first you just, we ask every guest when we're done, do you know any interesting business folks? And that usually leads to some. And now we've been doing this so long that PR people come to us and they want their guests to be on or their clients to be on shows. So getting guests is pretty easy at this point.
Okay, I screwed up my story. I didn't tell the end of it. She got the business.
The punchline.
That's the punchline. I'm horrible at telling stories. So she got the business, but not only that, she multiplied that to a bunch of municipalities.
That's right. So that she ended up doing several because of her relationship with the net winning.
So Amy's success is solely due to Lee and the Business Radio X platform.
Not even a little.
No, it's not. But certainly she found a way to really leverage it well. So that's our favorite internal story that I can see now we need to let Lee tell, particularly when we're recruiting.
Yeah.
I think you told it well.
Thanks.
Yeah. So now, since Atlanta Business Radio X, it's all web-based, right?
It's web-based,
100%. And what was, the main differences between that and FM, other than, I guess, how you find it?
Well, today it's becoming, the differences are more minimal than it was when I started. When I started, this was new. Like, I was doing this before there was such a thing as a podcast. We were doing podcasting before it had caught on, and you'd have to explain everything. And we were doing internet radio before it was as prevalent as it is today. So at first, it seemed like it was very different, that people thought of radio, they thought of in my car. I mean, they don't even think about it in their house because most people didn't listen in their house. But now with the advent of so many smartphones and streaming devices, you can get it in more places than you can AM and FM. And it's probably more popular, I would say, overall as a medium than AM or FM is today.
Mm-hmm. So, like, I guess 8 years ago, and internet was slow 8 years ago.
But the beauty of radio is that it was never slow, because the speed of it, it's not this big, it wasn't a big file.
Right.
As like audio. Video is, or virtual reality is, where now you need gigabytes in order to, download a movie or something like that.
Right, Blu-ray and video games and stuff.
But back in the day, it would take forever to download a video, but audio was always pretty fast.
Yeah. So how have you seen the landscape change? What's the biggest thing that you've seen that's different from then?
Today? Yeah. The popularity of podcasting. Now podcasting, everybody knows what it is. Everybody has downloaded podcasts. It's more accepted as a kind of a valid way to get information. When I started, I was one of the first podcasters.
Wow.
Yeah, everybody's got a top three now.
Right.
Yeah.
Lee and who else?
That's right. Me and two others.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what's next for Atlanta Business Radio?
Well, what's next for Business Radio X are, we just want to put more of them out on the planet to help these local markets tell the stories that are so important to the communities. There are so many communities that are doing good things in this country that those stories aren't told. There's nobody there amplifying the stories in those markets. And when you put a Business Radio X studio there, you have a chance, and you'll have an outlet that can really tell the story in your community and get the word out. And that gets businesses there. That gets more people there. We have a lot of stories where people have actually moved to a certain location because of listening to things on Business Radio X.
Wow.
He's being modest. When he says move to a certain location, he means from one country to another. That's one of those stories.
Right. So why don't you tell that story?
Because I don't do them well. I'm inspired by them. I get fired up by them. I think you should tell this one, and because it is worth repeating.
Right. This is an amazing story. And this shows you the power of the internet. And it couldn't have been done through terrestrial radio. This could never have happened. So what happened was, in Gwinnett County, one of our studios, an operator there, is doing good work. He's telling the stories of business in Gwinnett County. He was doing a show week after week, guest after guest, And unbeknownst to anyone, there was a listener in Columbia, South America, a banker who had a side hustle of selling flavorings because with the unique flavors of that region, right?
Right.
He was doing it on the side, but him and his, he was a banker. He was listening. He goes, you know, one day I dreamed to come to America. But as with a lot of people in other countries, you know, they think America is one place, right? Like, you know, that's so overwhelming. What does America mean, right? America could mean New York, Chicago, LA. That's all America. So he was researching and found that Gwinnett County was one of the fastest growing counties in America. Mm-hmm. So he's like, let me do some research on Gwinnett County. Does some, you know, Googling Gwinnett County, and Gwinnett Business Radio shows up. He's like, oh, here's a way that I can learn about some of the businesses in Gwinnett County, right? That makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
So he goes on, starts listening. He's an avid listener. He's listening to all the episodes. So he's listening, and the guests come on. One of the guests was a business consultant. And he calls them and says, hey, we're thinking about coming to America. Can you help us with a business plan that'll help us come to America? Absolutely. So they're working, you know, and help with the business plan. So cut to, like, 2 years later, him and his wife move their company to Gwinnett County. And he says that all of his contacts are through Business Radio X. Everybody he knew.
Wow.
Because he was learning about the community through Gwinnett Business Radio Show.
Oh, man, that's incredible. I mean, just...
So now his company is a multi-million dollar company that is based in Gwinnett County because he learned about it through us.
What company is that?
I don't remember the name. It's a flavoring company.
Wow.
So he stood up at a chamber event, an evening kind of a chamber event, and told the story. Stood up. It was amazing. Everybody gave him a round of applause.
And my wife was there, which gave me great pleasure. Right. It was good for her to hear that. Abby was there too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that felt
show
good.
Off a little bit.
Well, it just felt good. And they understood the value. They understood the value and the impact and the reach and the why behind what we do. Anybody can make a living in this business. But to do what we're trying to do, there's some additional complexities and challenges associated with that. And I think we have very understanding spouses because I'm sure at some point, sometimes they say, why don't y'all just go do the money part of it?
Right.
And but there's Lee and I have a different vision, and to have them there and hear that was it felt good, man.
Yeah. This is inspirational, pull at the heartstrings a little bit all
well,
the same.
I mean, just imagine this couple, they're in Columbia, South America. Mm-hmm. And they don't know anything about America. So they go and they research and they find this show. And then they listen, they learn about all these businesses doing stuff. They reach out and they connect with one of them. They hire them. They eventually move to a new country based on that and expand their business. It's a life-changing thing for them.
Right. I mean, sure. just the first thing, just culture shock.
Right.
Along with, you know, no friends, no family.
Right.
Just.
But they felt connected. They had they had connections in their mind.
Yeah, through you guys.
Well, through the platform and through the people they met. And then, you know, everybody was, that's what happens is people are helping other people. Mm. And we help them tell their stories. We're the place where those stories get told. That company, that consulting firm, would never have gotten the time of day on traditional media. They would never interview them. But because we interviewed them, they became made aware by these people in Colombia and they connected with them.
Right. Wow.
Right. So between, you know, learning more about the people you're interviewing and helping get them a platform and even impacting some of their lives, what are some of the favorite things that you guys got to do on the job?
Favorite things? I mean, we've gotten to travel. We get invited to go to trade shows all over the country. We've got to show up, from Vegas to San Francisco.
Yeah.
To New York, to D.C., to go to do trade shows there. So that's always a lot of fun.
The day-to-day thing, though, that's fun for me is when we sit down with a client to tweak or a potential client to craft a new concept or help them fit into an existing concept that is already part of our programming, because we get to learn all about their company, the what and the why behind what they do, And then we reverse engineer what we're trying to accomplish. We reverse engineer a show concept, a series concept, to deliver on the sales objectives that they have. So you learn a ton about these businesses. You really get to know these folks. You provide genuine value. So just day to day, I like those show concept meetings is my favorite part, I think.
And I like the just interviewing and learning about different businesses. I mean, yeah. Sometimes we go to startup events where we'll interview 20 startups in a day, and just to learn about what their vision is and how they're starting and kind of the good, the bad, the ugly of their journey is fascinating to me. I mean, your show is great. I mean, just being in the room and hearing you interview these young entrepreneurs is, I mean, that's amazing.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, we've talked a lot about the good stuff, the great stuff, the inspirational. Can you guys tell me a little, maybe one story about a particular setback or pitfall you guys fell into when you were starting up?
A pitfall, I don't know if it's a pitfall, but kind of a hurdle that's a challenge for us is getting the word out about our service and telling more people. It's been frustrating that we haven't been able to get more entrepreneurs involved and want to do this in their different markets. So that's definitely a challenge for us, is tooting our own horn and getting the word out about the work that we are doing, because we spend all of our day helping other people get the word out.
Right.
We haven't done a great job of getting the word out about what we're doing ourselves.
You can kind of help yourselves by the guests kind of coming back too, like them having good things to say, good stories, that kind of stuff helps as well.
Right. I mean, that's what we do every day, but we're not as probably strategic as we need to be about kind of tooting our own horn and telling our story or having other people tell our story.
Right. Oh, yeah, because that's weird to do.
Right.
You guys are, you're being modest in that sense.
Well, to our detriment sometimes.
I have a lot of personal growth in this area. I'm still working very hard to get along better with marketing people. Mm-hmm. I get along real well with senior execs and salespeople that have to produce results to eat. I'm working on getting along better with and communicating with marketing people, and Lee's helping me with that.
Yeah, I mean, like
how they have a tendency to want to measure everything but results, and I have a tendency only want to measure results and to design what we do specifically geared toward results, and I don't suffer measurements that are stupid.
Right.
So I'm working on it. So we let Lee make friends and then I tell the truth.
Yeah. So since you guys started off, in what areas have you guys seen the most growth, if that makes sense?
How are you defining growth?
Whatever you guys consider it to be.
Well, we're doing probably more shows than we've ever done before. So we're definitely growing in the way that we're telling more stories. And that's an important metric for us. And we're the studio operators we have are becoming more successful. They're able to get more sponsors.
That's the biggest leap so far, I think, is the studio partners are doing as well or better than like the studio we operate.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I'd say that equipping our studio partners with the tools and the platform that enables them to really serve their market and make some money and help some people. That's a win for us.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I guess what would be the best piece of advice that you would give to someone that was just starting out with their own idea?
For me, the best piece of advice is that, number one, take action. Number two is with the right partners, you can do anything. So align yourself with people philosophically that are on the same page.
He doesn't mean me. You're looking over. He doesn't mean me.
Not him.
He's not talking about me. If anything, I've held him back. But we do have fun.
No. When you have a team, whether they be, people that you work with or just clients that support your mission, that is very important. So it's important to kind of create an entity that people want to get behind and create that why that's so powerful that other people want to participate.
Yeah, the why is, I mean, that's what I've learned from, being in school and whatnot, about to focus on the why and make sure that is steady and sturdy and it's exactly what you want, and then go from there.
And that's a mistake I think a lot of startups or small businesses really suffer from is that they focus on the what they do and right. not the why they're doing it.
So I have a little different take. I think why is incredibly important. It's what drives me. It's what inspires me. You almost brought me to tears earlier in the conversation when I was talking about that one thing. But if you, this is advice for potential entrepreneurs or new entrepreneurs. Or
people pursuing an idea.
Yeah, first thing you need is a customer. The second thing you need is you need the customer to prepay. And then as you now have a business because you have a customer, now you really do need to think through your why so you can go get customer 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and go. But first thing you need is a customer. I mean, I think a lot of people forget that.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's sound advice. It's very...
Burn the ships, yeah. Take action, go get you a customer. Now you got a business.
Yeah, you can't do anything without the customer, obviously.
Yeah. Let her help you write the business plan, but go get you a customer. Sell it and then make it.
Yeah, so, you know, when you guys were starting off and you said you had a few hurdles, what is the biggest takeaway that you guys have had from that? So if there's one thing that you knew now that you wish you knew then, what would that be?
Oh, hell, that happens to me every 45 minutes. I just had a call, and Darren was listening in on it.
Yep.
And it's a guy who really ought to be a client for us. And I screwed it up because I mixed up two different... I make mistakes every day. So, but the lens that I view what happened earlier today is not that I cost the company 60 grand, and that might be what Lee's thinking, that I cost the company 60 grand plus this year. But now I'm so much better prepared for the next 20 of those conversations.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I it's not so much that I think I've gotten old and wise, but I think I've gotten better and better about learning from each mistake or shortcoming.
Yeah. So it's about just learning from your experiences and don't view those as failures necessarily.
Right. But I don't know. You tell me, like, to tell my 17-year-old self what to do?
Yeah.
I don't know. Inside, I think... I mean, look at the shirt I'm wearing. I still think I'm 17.
And for you?
I agree with Stone that failing fast is important. You need the data. You have to know that to take risk, to go and do something, take action, try to sell something, ask the customer what they want, what they need, and then try to serve them. And then learn from that and implement that and make the changes you have to make. You can't just, I think a lot of people get bogged down in their own head. They try to figure out too many things in their head without actually talking to a potential customer to see if it's something that's really viable. And then, like Stone said, sell them something, build it, then see if you can replicate it, and then sell somebody else something based on what you just learned.
So when you say getting like bogged down in your head, you mean like the shower conversation?
Well, you're
just
pre-planning. You're planning to plan. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't tell you how many people come in here and go, I want to write a book or I want to be a writer. It's like, okay, where are you at? You have a blog? I want to write a book. I want to own a company. I want my own company. Well, what have you done? Do you have like a side business? Have you done this a little bit? Just do something. Sell somebody something.
Yeah, you definitely have to be doing something. It can't just be a dream without you taking action.
Well, and don't wait for someone to pick you. That drives me crazy when people say, I'd like to be a writer. I'd like to be a business owner. When I get hired, you know, I'm going to learn that. I'm going to learn from the... Just do it. You be that person. Don't wait for someone to pick you. Pick yourself.
I mean, you know, your opinions might change what you want.
Exactly.
It's like as soon as you get started, you might like it even more than what you thought.
Or you might hate it. How many people would think that in their head before they're in high school, they're deciding what I want to be when I grow up? They go, I want to be a doctor. I want to be whatever. And then they do it for a day. They go, I hate this. I don't want to do this at all. I mean, learn that as quickly as possible.
And then when you're out and you find a problem like that, or you see a pattern like that over and over, build a solution to it.
Yeah.
Something like maybe audioauthor.com, where you can work with us and we'll help you get your first draft of your book out of your head and onto the page. We got tired of bitching at each other about it and saying that, so we created that service now. Now, for somewhere between $5,000 and $7,500 in just a few sessions, you can get the knowledge out of your head and on the page, and you're well on your way to getting your book. Yeah. So just like I suspect comedians just see humor all around them when they're walking down the street. As an entrepreneur, I suggest that you develop that muscle to see opportunity to serve, to solve problems as you're walking down the street. And that's just one example of one right, that we chose to capitalize on.
That's the entrepreneur mindset that your professor, Chris Hanks, talks about so much.
Right. And going back to what you said earlier about sometimes you might end up hating the thing that you want to do. I had a professor tell me that the key to success isn't knowing what you want to do and going from there. It's trying different things and finding out what you absolutely hate and
exactly.
going towards the things you don't hate.
That's right. Eliminate what you hate, do more of what you love, and you're going to be a much happier person, I guarantee you.
Okay, well, thank you guys for being on the show. It was absolutely great to have you guys here. So one last question. For any of our listeners that want to reach out to you guys, what's the best way for them? Is there a website for them to go to or personal emails?
And me, I'll give you all my coordinates. My direct line is 770-335-2050. I'm not great about picking it up, but I'll know you called and I'll return it. Or you can text me there. Or you can go to businessradiox.com. Or you can always reach me at Stone, S-T-O-N-E, at businessradiox.com.
Awesome. And for you, Lee?
Lee at businessradiox.com. Or just go to businessradiox.com. You can find all of our contact information there. Or hook up with us on LinkedIn.
Great. And so we are Biz Radio U, pushing knowledge further by showcasing the best in business. I'm Alex Stoker.
And I'm Adam Wozniak.